Welcome everyone to Senate Finance. It is 20 minutes after 2 on May the 22nd during the special session. Today we're going to take some testimony, not public testimony, but the invited technical testimony on SB 2001, which is the follow-up special session bill to the vetoed governor's bill, which essentially represents our conference committee report from the regular session. And we're going to have James Armstrong and David Teal walk us through, kind of give an explanation of it, and then we're going to have Pat, we're going to have Pat give a few comments on it, and then we'll adjourn for the day after questions from the committee. So, without further ado, are there questions or comments after I take a roll call? Senator Bishop, Senator Michicki, Senator Olson, Senator Dunleavy, and Senator Hoffman, are you online? He is online. I'm getting the nod. He may not hear us. Well, let the record reflect that Senator Hoffman is online. So, Mr. Armstrong, go ahead. Tell us about the bill.
Mr. Chairman, could you please explain, I've heard some confusion from the public. Can you just explain that these are the items that were redlined by the governor? We've added them back in. He funded the remainder, the supplementary 2015 and parts of the FY16 budget. And these are the items that were redlined out of what he approved. Is that correct?
That's what Mr. Teal and Mr. Armstrong will walk us through.
Perfect.
There you go.
Hi, James Armstrong, staff to Senator Kelly. First off, I'd like to give thanks to Megan Wallace and David Teal. They had a monumental task of, since the bill was vetoed on Monday, portions of it to put together a CS working document that we got yesterday. Members should have a one pager in front of you so I can walk you through it. Like Senator Michicki said, this essentially returns the operating budget to the conference committee version. It restores the vetoes so that SB 2001 plus the enacted version of 72 duplicates the conference committee that we adopted when we left Juneau. It reinstates intent and conditioning language as appropriate. Nothing new is added to the bill. The language section covers, there's a box of 8 things, takes in the tourism marketing match, capitalizes the disaster relief fund, restores the oil and gas tax credits, capitalizes the public education fund with AGDC funds, repeals and restores K-12 funding to the HB 72 level. It offsets any reduction in EGDC funding in 7A, capitalizes the REA school construction fund, and provides the state assistant payment to retirement. It also provides for the CBR provisions for supermajority votes in Section 17C of the Constitution. This section offers another opportunity for access to the reserve fund. As you know, that vote failed in the other body. And the last thing it does, Section 9, repeats language from House Bill 72 related to the use of the Higher Education Fund as a backstop if needed in FY15. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Mr. Teal, did you want to add anything to that? We have a broad explanation.
For the record, David Teal, Director of Legislative Finance Division. No, that's the pieces that put it together, but I think that Senator Michicki wanted it clarified that if you take SB 72, what was left after vetoes, and add to it what's in 2001, you are right back to exactly what the conference committee version of the operating budget had in it.
Okay.
Mr. Armstrong?
Also, members, in the back there is a two-page spreadsheet that shows management plan, what the conference committee did, what was enacted, and then the special session operating budget, either House Bill 2001 or Senate Bill 2001. It's this document right here, Senator Olson. So you'll see that when you add the enacted with the vetoes and partial vetoes and Senate Bill 2001, it totals up to exactly what House Bill 72 Conference Committee was. So this is just the spreadsheet version. All the documents are on the Ledge Finance website.
Questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Chickie.
So, through the chair, Mr. Armstrong, so essentially what was enacted was one of the 4.5, actually the conference committee 4.059, $4,059,000,000. What was enacted was $1.9 billion, and what's remaining to be funded is the 2.135. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And just, Mr. Chairman, just as a reminder, this Senate not only passed this budget but funded this budget with a three-quarter vote. We're back here because of issues with the other body, and that's understandable, but I'm not sure that it's been sort of recognized by the public that the Senate not only passed but funded a FY15 supplemental and FY16 budget.
Thank you, Senator Chickie. Anyone else? Senator Dunleavy?
Mr. Armstrong could repeat those figures one more time. The $1.9 billion was?
Do you have this spreadsheet?
Yes.
Okay, in the third column, enacted.
Mm-hmm.
That is after the vetoes and partial vetoes, that is what is the funding remaining in House Bill 72.
$1,923,2095.
In Senate Bill 2001 before you, funding totals $2,135,830,400.
Mm-hmm.
So those two combined into column five, enacted plus session, special session, get you to the same number.
Thank you. Any other questions? Go ahead, if you guys could just stand by. Pat, you want to come up and kind of walk us through what your thoughts are? Take a brief of these while you're getting situated.
For the record, my name is Pat Pitney. I'm the Budget Director, or Office of Management and Budget Director for the Walker Administration. So, just on the most recently introduced Bill 2001, it does, based on the vetoes of the governor from House Bill 72 that was passed, it does bring the special session bill, the 2001, brings back everything so that what was passed at conference committee is equal. So there's no change from the conference committee. It does, if you recall, in the previous special session, It does not include the additional provisions that the governor had introduced when starting the additional session. You know, those included the funding of education funding and change in the language for contracts and other smaller items, including ferry systems, university, pre-K programs, so forth. So what you have in front of you in 2002 does not include those items that were introduced earlier by the governor.
Questions? Mr. Chairman. Senator Olson.
Ms. Pitney, as you look at some of the changes that are there, there's always changes that we want to see have done. Is there any of these that cause an exceptional amount of heartburn for the administration?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, it just comes back to the first and foremost, there was a $5 billion spending plan submitted and $2 billion worth of revenue that we were able to use. So that was problem number one. The administration does feel that there are programs that took larger than took hits that were more damaging than we would anticipate in the first round. The administration is committed to additional cuts going forward, but we expected it to be a multi-year approach. At this point, our interest is having a budget funded, and if it takes a compromise, there are areas that we feel could be restored would be positive. It doesn't require a compromise. A funded budget is also very important.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you, Pat.
You're welcome.
We're going to be a little bit in standby mode. I had wanted, not today, I had wanted to deal with this budget a little bit more in depth tomorrow, but we're still waiting on some issues to be resolved in the House. So we probably won't be back until the earliest would be Monday. And we potentially, the other chairman will be back at that time too, and it will be at her discretion that we'll take up. What's the number on that bill, Senator Dunleavy, just came out of your committee? 44?
Yeah, committee says due for 44.
Okay. CS for Senate Bill 44. She may or may not take it up at that time, or we will deal further in depth with the budget. We'll just have to stand by, and we will keep everyone notified as to what we're going to do. If we go further, at the beginning of the week, we will have some more invited testimony, and we'll just figure out as we go what we need to do from that point on. So any comments? Go ahead, Senator McChicken.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to say that we created a budget, we funded a budget, and we passed a budget, and for the public, I'd like for them to understand that if it seems like there's not a lot of activity, it's because we've done our work. That doesn't mean we're not willing to sit and sit at the table and compromise on getting this budget funded. It's just that the gap is so great on money we simply don't have. And that's been painful for all Alaskans to watch, but we're here, we're ready to go to work, and ready to get this thing funded. We just ask the minority and the other body to bring us a reasonable compromise, and it's something we're willing to talk about.
I think one of the problems that we have with special session is they are special. They don't necessarily follow the rules that our normal sessions do. And so much of the work that we do is not what you normally would expect. It isn't necessarily going to the floor day by day by day and wading through bills because there are no bills. It requires agreements that be struck between the different bodies, and as those agreements are being negotiated, time is passing, but people are doing what they're supposed to do. It's pointless to hold meetings until you have those agreements, and that's why we will be probably not hearing anything on, in this committee until at least Monday and possibly Tuesday. The other thing is, I think Senator Chickie bring up a very good point. We did produce a funded budget, and this is not unusual to be having these kinds of operate session discussions and special session debates. In the 90s, we did it all the time. The three-quarter vote is a troublesome, and it makes it's a troublesome thing that makes much of what we do in Alaska politics dysfunctional. In most of the other states, you have this crazy thing called majority rule. And if you have more votes on one side than the other, then that's how the state proceeds. But the three-quarter vote puts the future of the state, the path of the state, potentially into the hands of a very few people who can just put on a demeanor of recalcitrance and cross their arms and not do anything that anyone wants them to do until they get the way, get their way. I'm not even saying that's what they're doing right now, but that's been the history of the three-quarter vote. It has cost us tremendously. I see Senator Donnelly in the background. He's nodding his head. And Senator Donnelly and I were co-chairs in 2001 together, and I just read the newsletter that Dave and I put out at this very time of year in 2001, and it was talking about a special session and getting a three-quarter vote. And it was delineating the amount of money that we were being held hostage for to get those last couple of votes. It was $160 million. That was back in 2001. That was 14 years ago. Nothing has changed much. Because one of the numbers that I heard this year as a hostage amount for a three-quarter vote was about $160 million. Unfortunately, that's changed back and forth, and it's become a moving target. But this is nothing new. I don't think it's anything to get too terribly excited about it. We just have to walk through it. It's not easy. It's confusing to the general public. It's confusing to some of us, and it's quite costly. But we do have to go through that so that the state can maintain its path forward. So, stand by.
Stand by.
With that, we're adjourned.